So my name is Mario, and I present for you today a network flow-based algorithm for the open pit mine production scheduling with multiple processors and under uncertain geology. So here's a brief outline of this presentation. We are going to start seeing a quick introduction about how we model the open pit mine production scheduling. And then we are going to see how the heuristic approach works to solve this model. And it consists on two main stages to generate first the initial solution and then to improve the solution using a network flow based algorithm. And then we are going to see the application of this methodology to a case study in a gold mine deposit, and then followed some by some conclusions. So let's see how we model the open pit mine production scheduling here. In the model that we use, we have a set of decisions about what and when to extract each portion of the deposit. I refer here about mining blocks, and also a set of decisions regarding the long-term stockpile, about how much material you're going to stockpile or reclaim in each period of the mining operation. And also, this set of decisions, they're related to a set of constraints, such as reserve constraints, slope constraints, mining capacity constraint, and also processing and stockpiling capacity, and also the balance of the flow stream of the material that goes in and goes out from the stockpile. So the set of decisions and constraints, they stand for the maximization of the NPV of the project, which is our final goal. So here is the objective function. So I'm highlighting now the first term of this objective function, which is a maximization. So in the first term, we can see a binary variable, which says for us when each block is going to be mined or scheduled during the life of the mine. So XIT is 1 if a given a mining block I is scheduled for a period T, and 0 or otherwise. So associated to this binary variable, we have a reward for the extraction of this block at that time. So given by the expectation of the NPV of a given mining block I in a period T. So this is an expected value because the same block I can have different average grades under different scenarios. And also it might have different destinations under different scenarios since the average grade changes and the cutoff poly set to the project is fixed. So the other two terms of the objective function, they're related to the stockpiling actions. So here I'm highlighting the linear variables YT plus and YT minus. And the stockpile here we have to understand as a flexibility that we give to the project to try to process faster during the life of the mine the high valued material, leaving the low grade material in the stockpile to be processed later during the mining operation. So those linear variables, the YT plus is associated to the act of stockpiling material, and the YT plus to the action of reclaiming material from the stockpile. And for the stockpiling part, we have the R, which is the unitary revenue of the material that we're gonna stockpile at that time, and also the SC, which is the stockpiling cost. And associated to the linear variables, which is the reclaiming part, the YT minus, we have also the unitary value of the material, which is in the stockpile, and also the reclaiming cost. As we can see, those linear variables, they are scenario dependent because under different scenario, we might be facing different realities. In one, we might be under a shortage, and meanwhile, in another one, we might be in surplus. So the actions that we should take in the stockpile, they might be different for different scenarios. So here is just a big picture about what I'm saying in this objective function. We have the deposit here in red. So for each period T, we have a set of mining decisions XT. So which says for us which are going to be the blocks mined at that period. But at this stage, we don't know what's going to be exactly the best destination for each one of those blocks because they might change under different scenarios according to the fixed cutoff policy that we use for the project. So if you analyze inside a given scenario, we can actually know what's going to be the best destination for each one of those blocks. So for instance, in this figure here, we see that some blocks are going to be discarded to the waste dump and other blocks are going to be sent to the processor with a stockpile associated to it. So for each scenario and each period, we're going to have a constraint like this that I'm showing here, which says that if the total amount of material that's going to be sent to that given processor, which is the first term of this equation, is higher than the processing capacity, then the YT plus variable will take value, which means that we're going to stockpile material Otherwise, the linear variable yt minus is going to take value, since we are going to tend to reclaim material from the stockpile and trying to use the full capacity of our processor. So just an important thing to remark here are those terms R, which are the unitary revenue associated to the material in the stockpile and associated to the linear variables, just because this term arises a nonlinearity to the function, since it's not possible to know how much and which kind of material we have in the stockpile before knowing which material, which portions of the deposit we have already mined. So to tackle this nonlinearity arising from the stockpile, we have two options. And the first option, we approximate the average grade of the stockpile by the average grade of all the candidates that are going to be sent to a given destination according to the cutoff policy of the project. And in the second option, we try to iteratively approach the average grade of the stockpile until it converges, trying to get a more realistic approximation. So what do I mean about iterative approach to the average grade of the stockpile? So I'm just trying to explain better in this slide. So we give a first approximation, for instance, using the first option, and then we solve heuristically the model. And after getting the solution, we know under each scenario and under each period what's going to be the blocks and that are going to be mined, and also their best destination under that scenario. So in this example, we know the blocks that are going to be discarded to the waste dump, and also the blocks that are going to be sent to the processor with a stockpile associated to that. But at this time, we don't know exactly which blocks are going to be sent to the stockpile or the ones that are going to be processed. But we know that under an optimal solution, as we don't have blending constraints here in this example, the high-grade material is going to be processed earlier, and the low-grade material is going to be sent to the stockpile. So we can sort those blocks by grades and then split them up and then put in the high-grade material to the processor and stockpiling the low-grade material, which allows us to calculate the actual grade the actual average grade of the stockpile. And we can then compare this average grade to the approximation we have done in the beginning. And if this approximation was close enough to the actual average grade that we calculated in the end, then we stop. Otherwise, we start to solve the model again, using as the first approximation now this actual average grade that we have calculated. So now I'm going to show the heuristic approach. As I've said in the beginning, it consists on mainly two main steps. So the first one is based on divide and conquer paradigm, so where we solve each period sequentially and then we merge all those problems to generate our initial solution. And then we try to improve this initial solution, trying to advance and postpone the extraction of some blocks in order to improve the NPV. So just a big picture about what I'm saying here. We solve each one of the sub-problems associated to each one of the periods, and then we merge those solutions, and then we input this initial solution inside the network flow algorithm to try to improve it. So how do you generate the initial solution? What do I mean about solving sequentially each one of the sub-problems is that if we have the initial set of blocks, as we see here in the left, we can solve the model only for a single period. And then after we get this solution, we take out the blocks associated to this solution, and then we have the second set of blocks to be considered for the second period. And again, we solve the model for a single period. And then we take out the blocks associated to this solution again, and then we have the initial set to solve for the third period, and so on. We can do even better. We can check our model, and we can see that there are some blocks that if we wish to mine, we should also mine each set of predecessors. But if we calculate the total tonnage of all this cluster, which is the block and its predecessors, and if we arrive at the conclusion that this is bigger than the mining capacity, then we would have a mining violation, and then this prohibits us to mine that block, and also in consequence the set of its successors. So how do we solve each one of the sub-problems? We can try to apply exact methodology based on integer programming methodologies, which are available in commercial packages. Here I refer to iLog Cplex, but also we can use a grid heuristic, which is a faster way with dealing in each period, but I'm not going to show in this presentation, but it's available in the report. So how does the network flow improvement algorithm works now that we have an initial solution? So the general idea of this algorithm is to try to defer and advance the extraction of some blocks, what we call backward and forward movements respectively, and attempting to improve the objective function. So we cannot forget about our constraints, and also we need to have in mind that simultaneously movement of blocks entails the movement of other blocks in subsequent periods. Here I'm going to show for you the graph structure for the algorithm that we need to build. I'm going to show just now for the backward case, but for the forward case it's straightforward. So for the backward case, we're interested on check movements that we can make to defer the extraction of some blocks. So I'm going to start saying about how we build the nodes, and then we're going to see how the arcs works. So for each block I mined in a period T, we are going to look at its set of successors also mined in the same period T. And then we are interested in two main properties of this cluster. First, the total value of this cluster with the expected EV, and also its total tonnage. So we are just going to consider as nodes of this graph the clusters which has its total value less or equal than zero, which means that you're going to try to defer costs, and also that the total tonnage of this cluster plus the total tonnage of all the material mined in a period T plus one minus the total tonnage of a possible candidate that is in period T plus one that can be pushed to period T plus two is lesser or equal than the mine capacity. What do I say about a candidate in T plus 1? Is that we can find in a period T plus 1 a block J that leads a cluster of blocks also being mined in a period T plus 1, which the total value of this cluster is less or equal than 0. So we can also defer the extraction and move them to period T plus 2, leaving room for the blocks which are led by block I to be mined in period T plus 1. So here is the graph structure. So for the network, we add two special nodes, which are the source and the sink. Then we associate each one of the nodes to a given period of the mine. So each one of the nodes are a block I, leading a set of successors also being mined in the same period. And then, so the set of arcs, they show for us possible movements that we can make in our schedule to try to improve it. So for instance, if we have an arc going from a node which is in the period 1 to a node which is in the period 2, these arcs say for us that a set of blocks associated to the node in period 1 are going to be are going to have their extraction to period T plus they're going to have their extraction moved to period 2, and the node the blocks associated to the node in period 2, they are going to be extracted in period 3. So each one of those paths, they identify a new schedule, and you're interested in check what is going to be the best modification we can make in this schedule. But we are still missing some nodes. So we need to add a set of dummy nodes, each one associated to a given period, which is going to show us when it's better to do not make any modifications in our schedule. So, but how do we find what's going to be the best path we can find, what's going to be the best modification we can make in our schedule? So we associate a set of weights for each one of the arcs, which are the Pij weights, and those are associated to the first two terms of our objective function, which are the NPV of the material, all the material coming from the mine, and also the cost of sending material to the stockpile. Here we see a limitation of the algorithm, because we cannot actually evaluate the third term of the objective function, which is associated to the reclaiming of material from the stockpile, because as now we are working with all the periods simultaneously, we cannot evaluate live how much material we have in the stockpile and to evaluate how much material we can actually reclaim from that. So after assigning weights to each one of the arcs, and we associate binary variables Zij to each one of those, and then we can solve a longest path problem, sending a unitary flow from the source to the sink in the network, and then trying to find what's going to be the path which maximizes the sum of weights. This might be a very complex problem in terms of computational terms, because it's an integer programming problem, but it can be solved efficiently since the constraint matrix is unimodular. So here is the algorithm framework. We start with an initial schedule generated in our initial solution, and then we associate the best solution to this initial schedule. And then we perform a backward pass trying to defer the extraction of some blocks. So we build the network associated to this problem. We solve the corresponding longest path problem. And then if the current solution found is better than the best, then we update the best. As a following step, we update the schedule, and then we return to step one if a new schedule was found. Otherwise, we perform a forward pass, trying to advance the extraction of some blocks, which comprises a similar steps and a similar stopping criterion. And we keep this cycle until it's no longer profitable to move any further block, so what we call a full pass. Oh, now I'm gonna show for you a case study at a gold deposit with two processors and one stockpile. So here is the big picture of this case study. So the deposit comprises about 120,000 blocks, and we have available for us 14 geostatistical simulation to map our spatial uncertainty of grades. So we have one processor with a stockpile associated to it, which is our main processor, the mill, and also we have a leaching processing and a waste dump to discard material. So here is how our case studies are organized. So in the first case study, we are just going to approximate the average grade of the stockpile by the average grade of all the material that's going to be sent to a given destination according to the cutoff policy. So as we have the mill as the processor that has a stockpile, so we're just going to consider the average grade of all the material that's going to be sent to the mill. And in the second case study, we're going to try to solve the problem iteratively, trying to iteratively approximate the average grade of the stockpile, getting a more realistic approach. So let's see the graphs for the first case study, for the first optimization. Here we can see the total rock being mined over the life of the mine, showing a ramping up profile during the first years, which is good for the operation because we are spreading out the necessity of huge capital expenditures during earlier periods of the operation. Now I'm going to show for you some risk profiles regarding all the geological scenarios we have available. So I'm gonna summarize them in terms of percentiles 10 and 90 and also the mean. So in the left upper graph that shows ore input to the mill, we can see that the mill is gonna work in full capacity until about year 13 and with almost no risks of shortage or surplus, and also that the average grade of the mill it's decreasing over the time, as we can see in the graph in the right bottom. So it's interesting to see in those graphs that we almost don't have a risk of shortage or surplus, and this is mostly related to the fact that the stockpile can buffer the risks of surplus, so the optimizer tends to use as most as it can from the capacity of the mill. So here is the tonnage in the mill stockpile. We see that's pretty much variable over the time, and also accordingly to the mean, we are going to have most of the material being sent during the first period, which is about 150,000 tons of material being sent to the stockpile. And now we see the tonnage being put to the leaching processing, which is pretty much unbalanced during the time, but we are not so concerned about that since it just received marginal ore, and that the average grade being put to the leaching is pretty much constant over the life of the mine. Now I'm going to show the results and compare the results of the second optimization to the one that we've seen before. So now we see that for the second optimization, which are the blue lines, we see that it tends to work in full capacity to the mill for a longer time than the results in the first optimization, and also that the average grade being put to the mill is much higher in the first period, which increased the metal throughput than if we compare with the first results in the first case study. Those observations, they are mostly related to the better management of the stockpile by the second optimization, which tends to use much more the stockpile than the results shown by the first optimization. As a consequence also of the use of the larger use of the stockpile by the second optimization, we see that during the first period, in the second case study, we are going to tend to mine the double of the quantity of material that we were considering for the first case. And this is mostly related to the fact that now we are going to try to reach deeper portions of the deposit to try to process earlier high-valued material, increasing the metal throughput during earlier years. Those observations, they have a main consequence in the NPV. As we can see in the second optimization, we were able to get a 1.3 percent NPV larger than the results in the first case study, and those this improvement is mostly related to the increase of NPV that we got in the first period, as we highlight here in the green arrow. Here there are some south-north cross sections showing the both schedules of the first and second case studies, just highlighting that in the second optimization we tend to reach deeper portions of the deposit faster than in the first optimization, trying to reach higher value material. So now some final remarks. As we can see, the proposed stochastic optimization method handles a reasonable size deposit with two processing streams. If I talk about integer programming problems, this case study, it had like about 120,000 blocks in bin scaling 25 periods, which gives about 3 million binary variables, which would be very complex to be solved by exact method. The modeling of the stockpile has a main effect on the results, and the iterative approximation of the stockpile grades improves the project NPV. As we have seen, it's a 1.3% of improvement. And the formulation is flexible and can handle other kind of constraints. As future work, we're going to try to develop a formulation with a fully stochastic stockpile, introduce another kind of constraint such as blending, which is a challenge. The simultaneous optimization of the destinations do not work in with a fixed cutoff policy, and extend to multiple mines with multiple processors. So thanks a lot.